Praise God. We're going to start this evening off, no lights, please, with a video. It's a part of tonight's teaching. So you can be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we're going to watch this video, and then we'll enter into the teaching, because this is all part of the teaching. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hit it.
Wickedness is great in the world, so too will be the response from heaven.
My back. You stand alone and defy me.
I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone.
The days of Elijah are here.
It begins.
Remember, Noah, he chose you for a reason.
The long-awaited 50-year jubilee.
Is this the end of everything?
Beginning. Beginning of everything.
Birth of a new era.
Let's get to the message from God. It's called "The Enemy is Running Out of Ideas," and this was given to me September 16, 2024. Today marks the new dawn of a new era in time. Your celebration this year is soon to begin.
Everything I look at is just saying that such a critical time point. This is Revelation 12. When you calculate forward, it takes us to September 16th as an important date. It takes us to September 16th as an important date. But ultimately, the last completionary biblical calculation is Halloween. October 31st, 2024 is the full-on completion of the Daniel cycle that's written in the Bible. The other calculation we can use, if we run the calculation using man's time of 7 years, and that takes us to this September 23rd.
But this is for you, says the Lord. The tide is turning for you. A very strange thing shall happen in September. Moving into the fall, where there shall be a great fall. Fall of the enemies, fall of kings, fall of princes. Watch and see, for God says, beginning in September, I will turn everything around, and my people shall see an intervention of a kind that they have never seen before.
There's two critical calculations, man's time, the 7 year window, and then the other calculation, which takes us to Halloween, the 31st. This is Kim Clement going back to the year 2005. What did he say? God said, this is a time, and especially at the end of October, on a one day they call Halloween. So the calculation is exactly on Halloween from the Revelation 12 side. Kim Clement speaking about the one day, Halloween, shall be a very strange occurrence that shall take place in this nation, and the people shall be very afraid. Well, that makes sense because, you know, the witching hour, right? And then suddenly the mourning, not mourning like the M-O-R-N-I-N-G, but M-O-U-R. So like the sadness, the mourning shall turn into dancing, shall turn into dancing.
Your celebration this year is soon to begin.
Repeat after me. The land will rumble. And evil will crumble.
And evil
It's going to get dark. They're going to attack one more time. Your phones are going to go out. The internet is going to go out. The TV is going to go out. There's going to be nothing but silence. Nothing but silence. Just like Lazarus. John 11 was dead in the tomb for 4 days. Why 4 days? Why 4 days? So that what? But then we could see the glory of God. All glory goes to God. The earth will rumble. And evil will crumble.
Tonight's called Dismantle of Babylon. To dismantle, it has to have a beginning of dismantling. It doesn't mean it's going to fall instantaneously. Amen? Again, we've entered a transitional shift of refreshing and a new reality. It's God is sending out invitation. It's by invitation only. Everyone say invitation only. You must be invited into this new reality. That's what the Spirit told me. That he's sending out invitations to this new reality. Some will refuse the invitation. Remember, the Word became flesh and some rejected him. His own rejected him, didn't they? He sent out an invitation, didn't he? And they rejected it. Not all will want to participate because it takes cooperation. Revelation 18, we'll start at verse 1. Let's speak it. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a what? Dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and cage for every unclean and hated bird. Oh, in other words, a place of demonic rule. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In other words, when people are drunk, they have a different reality, don't they? There's a false reality, isn't there? The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive her plagues. That's an invitation, isn't it? For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. And the measure that she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now, again, what's he saying? Come out of her. Come out of the world system of Babylon. It is a global system of demons, foul spirits, perversion, hatred, murders, child sacrifice, love of money, and greed. The prophetic prophecy that has begun, but it's not complete yet. So the dismantlement will continue. And Genesis chapter 6. Verse 1, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, who are angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. In other words, they put on flesh. In the book of Enoch, it explains that 200 angels put on flesh and came into this reality. But you won't see this in this Bible. But it's okay. We got the Holy Ghost. We know all things. They can't hide from us no matter what they don't show us. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. In other words, I'm going to share this quickly. There were giants on the earth. Why? Because they came from Cain. Cain was an offspring of the devil. His mother was Eve. There was fornication in the garden. That's why God threw them out. Cain produced offsprings. Why? Because the devil is a fallen angel, isn't he? Amen? And so he seduced Eve. Eve bore children. And the Bible tells us that Adam's first son was Seth. Hello. So we know that Cain was a murderer, wasn't he? He killed who? Abel. Well, who is the father of all murderers? The devil. So those were the first giants. And then the other, once that happened, 200 of the other fallen angels put on flesh and came into this reality. And they went into women and bore offsprings. Sometimes people have a hard time with that. They have a hard, no way that can't happen. Eve ate an apple. All right. An apple will get you pregnant, huh? And that's what God's judgment was on her, wasn't it? And you were going to be in sorrow for children. Every time you bear children, you will be painful. Why? He wouldn't have done that. That was her judgment. If she didn't have sex with the devil. And remember, the Bible says that the devil comes as a what? Angel of light. So he's a shapeshifter also. He can put on flesh. Is everybody okay? Praise God. All right. Verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil continually, because the fallen angels produced offsprings, and their offsprings were evil. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Is the earth corrupt right now? Is it filled with violence? Well, if you go back, it's why? Because of the offspring of Satan's kingdom, the devil. It's full of violence, amen, and it's corrupt. Now, these are called Nephilims. They're offsprings of fallen angels. Verse 12, so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Now, everything that happened here, go to the next chapter in verse 17. So God had, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, not every offspring of the Nephilim race was a giant or weird looking. Some of them produced beautiful women. And Ham married one. That's how it got across the flood. Because God would not allow them to do that again. That's why he destroyed them all in the flood. Amen. And you'll see here in verse 17. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days, and the waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 50 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing, and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him, only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth for 150 days. So after the ark settled, it began a new reality. This became a whole new reality. Noah and his sons just entered a whole new reality of time. Genesis 11, chapter verse 1. Speak it. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a place in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come and let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. Now, again, this was Nephilim technology. And they said, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over all the face of the earth. The Tower of Babel, Nimrod, was the king. He was the ruler. He was a son of Cush. He was the grandson of Noah's son, Ham. So that means Nimrod was an offspring. He got through. Why? Because of Ham marrying who? A Nephilim. So if you follow Ham's lineage all the way down, it's all the Nephilim and giant races. Everybody understand that? Ham, who married a Nephilim, his grandson of Ham were giants. Goliath was Nimrod's cousin. The Hebrew name for Nimrod is Marad, or it means rebel, the rebelled one. Nimrod was motivated by anger against God. So many people think because they can't interpret the word correctly that Nimrod was just a great hunter for God and God loved them. That's not how it was. Nimrod hated God. That's why he built the tower. And why did he hate God? For destroying his forefathers with the flood. He was very angry. He was fearful of a repeat action of God about the flood. After the tower was dismantled and the people dispersed, Nimrod sought refuge and he went to Iraq. We know today is known as Iraq. Nimrod sought refuge there and assumed another name. Gilgamesh. Gilgamesh, thank you. Gilgamesh. And he established the foundation of the present day we call Freemasons. One World Order. If you look at the tool, the measuring tool of the Freemasons, in the center it has G. It represents Gilgamesh. Why? Fallen race, one world order. It was their logo. In 2030, the New World Order is called the Gilgamesh Project. Why? Because they want to complete what Nimrod did not. Is everybody cool? Are you getting this? The Gilgamesh Project. Revelation 17, starting at verse 1, please. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." What does the drunk mean? False reality. They partook of a false reality. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornications. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to what? Perdition." Who is that? Antichrist. Amen. "And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life." Why? Because they're caught up in false reality. They've been drunk. "So whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the earth, from the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." In other words, places of authority, education, government, political, things to that degree, currency, banks. "There are also seven kings, which were rulers. Five have fallen and one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to what? Perdition." Where did he come from? The pit. Hallelujah. "The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast." Now, these kings are also known as beast places. In other words, these are individuals with authority and so forth. Listen, the BRICS regime right now, the BRICS nations, are called the sons of Goliath. They're called the sons of Goliath. And in that, their purpose is to dismantle Babylon. Does everybody get it? Their purpose is to dismantle Babylon. Why? God put it in their heart to do this. This is all controlled by God Almighty. Some of them are enemies of God, but God can turn anything and use anyone he wants. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 13. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Are you called? Are you chosen? Are you faithful? Then you know, that means you. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. In other words, in different languages. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot and make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their king's dominion to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is a great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now this is where it gets a little crazy. It says, make war the drunk or deceived with a false reality. Those were not in Christ, amen. They continue to follow the beast of perdition and deception. The kings are the sons of Goliath, BRICS nations also. Dismantle. What are the cities that will be dismantled? Washington, D.C. will be dismantled. That's one of them. The Vatican will be dismantled. The city of London, the banking systems will be dismantled. This is a physical and a spiritual dismantlement and process that's going through. Why? Because this is the dismantling of Babylon. Wherever Babylon has its hands and fingers, it's going to be dismantled. Now, they do have headquarters all over, don't they? But look at what's going on. What's being dismantled right now? Washington, D.C. and all of its wickedness. The United States is being dismantled. That's one of them. The city of London and all the banking systems is being dismantled. The queen and the king over there in London, they've already been dismantled. Their places are empty. Oh, they've already been removed. And God is continuing to dismantle anything associated with Babylon. And we're in the beginning of it right now. Oh, hallelujah. Jeremiah 50, starting at verse 1, please. So we are entering some of the most difficult times, but the greatest of times. It's going to be difficult for the world. But remember, chaos brings people to God, doesn't it? It brings awakening. It brings divine order. Chaos always brings people to God. That's what it brings revival. One of the things that happens is people, when they get caught up in all this chaos, they wonder, why am I in such torment and turmoil? Why are all these things happening? Maybe I did something wrong. Yeah, you're following the wrong God. Glory. The word of the Lord spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare among the nations, proclaim and set up a standard. Proclaim, do not conceal it. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is shamed, Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are humiliated, her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north a nation comes up against her, which shall make her land desolate. No one shall dwell therein. They shall move, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days and at that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, with continual weeping, they shall come and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. And all found them have devoured them. And their adversaries say, we have not offended because they have sinned against the Lord, the inhabitation of justice, the Lord of the hope of their fathers. Move from the midst of Babylon. Go out of the land of the Chaldeans and be like the rams before the flocks. For behold, I raise up and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly, a great nation from the north country. They shall array themselves against her, for there shall she be captured. Their arrows will be like those of an expert warrior. None shall return in vain. On Chaldea shall become plunder, and all plunder her shall be satisfied, says the Lord. Because you are glad, because you rejoice, you destroyers of my heritage, because you have grown fat like the heifer threshing grain, and you bellow like bulls, your mother shall be deeply ashamed. She shall bore you, be ashamed. Behold, the least of the nations shall be a wilderness and a dry land and a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord, she shall not be inhabited, but shall be lowly desolate. Everyone who goes by Babylon shall be horrified and hiss at her plagues. Put yourselves in array against Babylon and all around. All you bend a bow, shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Shout against her all around. She has given her hand, her foundations have fallen, her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her, as she has done, so do to her. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him who handles the sickle at the harvest time. Are we at the harvest time? Yes. For fear of the oppressing sword, everyone shall return to his own people, and everyone shall flee to his own land. Israel is like scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria devoured him, and at last this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bones. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, and I, as I have punished the king of Assyria, and I will bring back Israel to his home, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan. His soul shall be satisfied on the mount of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, but there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, but there shall not be found, for I will pardon those whom I preserve. Wow. So we have Nimrod, who was the king, right? Nebuchadnezzar came after him. Now, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon? So Nimrod was the king of Babylon. Remember Nebuchadnezzar, what did God do? He caused him to become an animal because he exalted himself. 7 years he went out to the fields and ate like an animal. His nails grew, his hair grew. And when God reawakened him, he repented. I guess if God turns you into an animal and you're eating grass for a long time, you'd be repenting too. But he repented in him, he glorified the God of heaven, the great God of Israel. So God forgave him. But then who came after him was his son. But his son, Belshazzar, was wicked. And he took all the beautiful articles and the cups and chalices and so forth from the temple. And he partied with them. And while he was partying, a hand was written on the wall. You remember that saying? The writing's on the wall. And basically it was saying, you're doomed. You're doomed, man. You know, your kingdom's to be God. And in this, he did not repent, and he lost the kingdom. Then Darius the Mede, Cyrus, Alexander, God used these as weapons against Babylon. And then Cyrus did something good. He released the people of God to go home and rebuild. The Babylon is a city considered of man. Jerusalem is considered the city of God. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. But we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Is that happening? Isn't that kind of part of Babylon? Pride, envy, strife, love of money. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O men and women of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and only potent, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Powerful. The dismantling of Babylon. It's happening. We're in it. September is the time sequence. It's beginning. Again, I shared already before that, you know, there are cycles. One of the cycles is 400 years that God uses for time events and things that happen. And in 1623 was the first Thanksgiving. 400 years later, which was 2023, was the 400 years that was complete. So we're 2024 will be the first Thanksgiving in this new era and this new reality that's being refreshed and renewed for me and you. Why? Because we've been invited. And those who accept the invitation will be glorified for his glory. We see now that the first seal of the book of Revelation has been broken already. It was what they call the on December 30th, 2019. That was the first seal virus, December 30th, 2019. It was on Hanukkah. The second seal that was broken was the peace removed from the earth. It was on May 30th, 2020, which was on the Feast of Pentecost. The next seal that will be broken is the third seal. It will be the financial collapse of the U.S. currency and many global currencies that are associated with the Babylonian system. And that's starting this month. It's already started. I've seen many, many things that have already happened. There's many testimonies. Currency exchanges, all kinds of things are already happening. What's going to explode? Tangibility, gold and silver. You're going to find interest rates be reduced because they're going to try to manipulate the currency and the inflation. It'll be an all false reality. Many people go out and get loans at a low interest rate and won't be able to pay them. Just like 2008. What did they do? They bailed out the banks, not the people. Because that's how the Babylonian system works. I mean, think about it. It could have been a real simple thing that they should have called me. I would have told them how to do it. That's what I need to do is extend their payments. Hello, extend their mortgages for another year. They'd have rescued everyone. But no, they wanted to bail out the banks and torment the people and harm them. Take their lands back. That's what they do. They took their properties. They threw them out on the streets. And they're going to attempt to do it again. They're not done. They have schemes up their sleeves. But thank God, he who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. And by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we know things to come. So watch the dismantlement of Babylon. Be prepared. And don't get caught up in the chaos, because it's going to be the most chaotic times, but the most blessing of times. It's going to seem very strange. But again, we've been invited. We are the called. We are the chosen. We are the faithful. We are the body. Think about it. We are the body of Christ. Can't touch this. Hello. We are more than conquerors. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, we got a lot more to share. But we ain't doing it tonight. So thank you, Father, for your word and preparation. Thank you for the great awesomeness you're about to do. We love you, we exalt you, and we thank you. I pray protection and favor, and protect the seed that's been imparted in us so that we may be reminded, even though we're going through all kinds of stuff, because we will. But thank you, because we are on the verge of not only breakthrough, but the release of the wealth of the wicked into our hands. And we say, give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.